This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's good, San Diego? Welcome into the Happy Hour 501 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scrape. It's been a fun 3 hours. Happy hour remaining. It seems that our friends in Washington, D.C. are still having conversations about the, what should we call it, kerfuffle.
Where does that laugh originate from?
It's not a laugh, it's a cry.
Oh, that's is that you? After the 49ers lost to the Chiefs?
No, it's just a sound.
One of the many times?
It's just a sound effect.
That was shot. A different. I no, like it. I like
I,
it.
I don't like it at all.
Cornholing.
Came from.
Cornholing.
That was just right where my mouse was, so you got
what does
it.
Does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. This does too.
I'm a clown.
Okay. That one's better.
It had nothing to do with anything, but it made it even funnier that you just dropped a cornholing.
Cornholing.
Now, to be fair, I believe is it Jake Irvin, right?
Yes.
I believe Jake Irvin was asked a question from our folks at Foul Territory. I think it's AJ Przinski.
Correct.
Scott Braun, and usually, who am I missing? Someone else is on there.
Przinski, by the way, was very adamant that Gore hit Profar on purpose. Like
he did.
Very.
Come
well,
on,
I know.
Dog,
I know. But I'm just saying.
Gosh,
backing that up.
This dude is a huge human being. I can't. His name
huge
is.
Huge human being.
Skipping.
Andre the Giant?
former catcher for the Phillies.
Huge
Gravy,
human
come on,
being.
Man,
I'm looking. I don't see it. Let me. Foul Territory TV people.
Huge.
Anyway.
Catcher for the Phillies.
Huge human being. Like
wow.
he's a big dude.
Right.
They were doing an interview with Jake Irvin. He was asked about the fisticuffs or the fake fisticuffs that happened in
Jason
San Diego.
Kipnis?
Scravey's about to give it. Nope, it's not Kipnis.
All right.
I'll figure it out. You don't worry about it. Anyway, let's play that sound from that interview there, Scrape.
I think it's like you said, it's case to case basis. It's do whatever you want. You won the game. You did something really cool that people dream of doing, and it's a special moment. I think for me personally, you keep it within your team, make it about your boys, and make it about your family. When you bring it to the other side of the field, you know, there's just a little bit different feeling for a celebration like that.
I was going to echo that same statement. AJ, I'm with you. You can do whatever you want. If it's with your team, if you guys have a fun celebration, whether it's the old Adam Jones pie in the face or the Gatorade celebrations, when you start kind of crossing that line and looking into the other dugout, and I think that's a little bit of where it gets a little kind of like a gray area, to be honest. So I think if it stays on your side of the field and with your guys, there is really no limit that you can do. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Absolutely. And we didn't want to hit him. We didn't want to hurt him. Guys were over it, 10 minutes after the game. But we talked as a group and just said, that's something that we don't want to put up with as a team. And it's part of this scrappy attitude that we have. And we have each other's backs. We're here for each other. And part of that is doing what Cabert did and just standing up for his guy.
He sounded like he was talking out of both sides of his mouth there.
He definitely was talking out of both sides of his face.
Right?
He first said, hey, you hit a walk-off. You did something that most people dream of. Do what you want. Then in the same breath, he said, but once you cross that line, you come over here and you're looking into our dugouts, did we feel a certain time way. But then he said, 10 minutes after, we were all over it. But then they had a meeting 10 minutes after and decided, you know what, this isn't what we're going to allow.
True.
So
yeah.
There was a lot of speaking
out of
both sides.
What was the meeting about, to decide that you were over it?
And then
if you were over it, why did the catcher get in his face the next day, which is 8 hours later, 12 hours later? Yeah, come on, Nats. No good.
I think it misses the part of the regardless what the intention was of the fastball.
It misses the guard. They put a ball under his chin. Yeah, that's right, Tony.
Under his chin, right?
Yeah.
I think the other thing is, and I don't know if you are, you know, by trait, you are a visitor in another team's building. I don't know that you get any rights at that point. Like, you're visiting. And not only are you visiting, you lost on a walk-off. I think at that point, and listen, we talked about this when it happened. Was it a little weird that it ended up on their side of the field? Yes, definitely weird. But that doesn't mean that he was staring into the dugout. I know many of them seemingly thought that. It looked like he was up in the stands for the most part, even though he was on their side of the field. And again, it totally misses the fastball underneath the chin that, you know, de-cleated him, basically. His cleats came out from under him. He hit the ground hard. If I'm not mistaken, it wasn't that, but next pitch, next couple of pitches later, he walks it off. So all of that's playing into it. And, you know, I think you know that because Winker makes the first out of the inning. And as I told you guys, the thing that he said to Profar walking out the field was, are we good? Are we good? And then Profar comes up and clearly Keybert had different idea of what if they were all right. He certainly wasn't over it. I don't. Maybe he missed the team meeting that they had about, you know, being over it.
I think that they all missed the team meeting about being over it because I don't think any of them are over
it.
Keybert, it's a week later.
Remember last night during the team? Oh, wait, you were not the team meeting last night.
I think we're going to see
just how over it they're not on July 23rd when the Padres go there. Because even if the players are over it, well, they might be over it, but the fans are going to remember it in Washington, D.C. There's going to be loud booing when Profar comes up in that first inning. You can be sure.
Here's the deal. Profar still got hit. And don't think that has just been swept over.
It shouldn't be.
You know, I won't be surprised at all if there is a – I hate to use the word get back because it's, you know, so taboo.
I like it, Tony. Use it.
But I think there's some get back. I think there's some get back possibly coming.
I know one thing. I'm going to be tuned into that series a little more closely than some of the others. And, you know, in looking at that series, by the way, the Padres do not. This is a little jumping the gun. But they do not have an easy start to the second half of the season, the Padres. Have you seen this, Tony?
First three. Of course, have I seen it? Yeah.
Cleveland.
I'm going to live it.
Cleveland, D.C., and Baltimore. That's a tough road.
Right out the chute, baby.
And then when you get home, Dodgers. So,
yeah,
it's going to be tough.
And, you know, they got two more East Coast swings. They got that one, and then the first week of August, they go to Pittsburgh, Miami. So, that three-game roadie is the longest of the season for the Padres. And, you know, it'll be a chance for them to get off to a good start coming out of the break.
But it won't be easy. Are we on to anything else? Are we just doing a potpourri here, Scrabe, or do you have something else you need to get to?
No, I was just searching for new news. We got James Wood struck out in his second at bat, and his helmet flew off.
That's it for him.
AJ Preller knew what he was doing.
Yeah, good trade. Good trade.
It's going to go at bat to
every
at bat.
Bat yeah, it'll be a good trade or a bad trade.
When he hits his home run, his first home run.
Here's a name that popped up on the wire today that I haven't heard in a long time, and it was a name that I really liked and I think a lot of people really liked, and a really, really popular person both, you know, on the field and in the booth, especially pretty much beloved. And you talk about making a mistake that basically cost you it all. How about John Gruden, guys? When's the last time you even heard that name, John Gruden? And he,
since his my guy for the Washington football team leaked all that stuff out. Yeah. That's the last time I heard. Yeah.
That was Chris when he found out, literally, this was Chris when he found out that the Commanders were no longer the Washington football team.
Name and logo.
That's the worst one of all time. I like misspeaking on the Gland Slams is better than that one there.
Excuse me.
That's better than that one. Yeah, that one there, I don't know where I was going.
Name and logo.
Yeah.
It's an off day. It's a Monday. So we're getting a little silly.
It's a happy hour. Anyway, John Gruden did get his name back in the news today, but it's not anything good for him. Unfortunately, he lost his bid in the Nevada. He took this all the way to the Nevada Supreme Court, and he lost his bid to reconsider whether there was interference and conspiracy against him after he left the Raiders. Gruden claims it was leaked on purpose that forced him to resign, the racist, sexist, and homophobic emails, et cetera, that he sent many years earlier.
So wait.
He says it was all released in order to force him out of his job.
So he's saying he wrote them, though.
I don't think he could argue those.
Yeah, okay. It was all there. I don't think there was any argument there.
This was what was my man's name for the Washington football team that was getting everybody
Snyder?
In trouble?
Yeah, Snyder.
Snyder was like, look over here.
Don't look at me. Look at this guy. It only worked for Snyder for a little while, but man, he really swallowed up Gruden in that. I can't stick up for anything Gruden said, so it's hard to say I feel bad for him. He said what he said, and if you put it out there, even if it's not been released, you're always running that risk. So
yeah, man.
You know,
if you're talking like that, because you think it won't get out, it's gonna get you, buddy.
Yeah. So I feel. I mean, I did. I like Gruden. Who didn't like Gruden? I don't know anybody that didn't like him before this stuff came out.
One of the best hard knock speeches of all time.
Tony was going
all
there.
Time.
Yeah, it was good.
All time
good stuff. Chucky was all right, but he's not all right anymore.
No more, Mr. Chucky.
No more happiness for Chucky.
All right, let's get to break. We actually are going to get to break on time for the first time in this 4-hour show. So kudos to us. Let's get to break. Morgan and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 5:20 is the time. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Tejas. Padres start with the Rangers tomorrow night, three-game series. Tony, have you, I don't know that you would have gotten any word on this, but as of this morning, the Padres had not determined their starting rotation for this series. They said they might switch some things up. Had you heard anything about that? Because it says on MLB.com that Cease is starting tomorrow, followed by Mazur. And then King. So,
I would just say that sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, I don't think there's a. Anyway, we'll see if the Padres change anything up. But as far as we know, I don't believe that'll be the case. So we'll all find out, I guess, together tomorrow.
Technically,
Cease and Eovaldi tomorrow.
Technically, they would be changing things up, right? Because
okay.
You know, in terms of whose turn in the rotation it would be.
Got it.
Because King would be coming. King just pitched the second game of this series.
Cease, Mazur in the second game. I'm looking on MLB.com, and they're not very helpful. Yeah, King in the third game against Scherzer. Max Scherzer.
Right.
Still pitching.
That just means that. Well, yeah, he just came back recently.
Be
his second start, I think, maybe since coming back, something along those lines. Hmm.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
I would say that your idea of the rotation is accurate.
Okay. Do you think the UT's Bryce Miller gets fired up when the Seattle Mariners' Bryce Miller pitches? It's one of those weird things.
Knowing Bryce Miller the way I know Bryce Miller, I don't think that.
Like, I think it would be kind of cool if there was a pitcher in baseball named Matt Scraby.
I would be willing to bet that it's not even on his radar.
Don't think so? Don't think Bryce Miller knows anything about Bryce Miller?
Well, I think Bryce Miller, the pitcher, is spelled B-R-Y-S-E. So.
No. Good try.
I thought he was.
According to this.
That's the Bryce Miller. That's the Bryce Wilson from the Brewers.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Nice try.
Like that.
Scraby, Mr. Bear of misinformation.
Oh. Mm. He loves to use that when it works for his
narrative.
He's
back.
He loves to use it when it works for his narrative.
All-star balloting continues. Again, I can't go against and be hypocritical and tell you to hurry up and vote more. Because I think guys should be all-stars if they're all-stars, not because we beg you to vote. But you probably want to, keep up with how things are going. And Profar has slipped a little bit behind Christian Yelich in the outfield. 21% to 20. And then Fernando's third was 16%. But it's very, very tight in the American League or the National League all-star balloting. So do what you wish with that. Arise is 10 percentage points behind in the National League at second base behind Ketel Marte. And Machado is trailing Alec Bohm by a pretty good margin at third base. So there you have
that. I guess the Brewers fans just started voting. Because I was looking at this. It didn't seem like Jurickson was going to get caught. I guess maybe Brewers fans.
I think because you probably haven't paid a lot of attention to how these also as you get closer to like the end date, this just happens all the time. More people start paying more attention, they start voting more, and things can change pretty quickly. And then they got the campaigns now. I think the Padres are paired with the Blue Jays.
I think it's like
four Padres and one Blue Jay.
Vladdy Jr.
It seems like a little uneven,
What are your thoughts about the campaign, Tony? Wouldn't you just like it if people voted for who they voted for?
I'm not really a fan of,
even though I love Jerkson's little kid up on the screen asking us to vote for him, it's very cute. But I think we should vote because we want to vote for him as the All-Star, not because they're begging us to do it. Anyway.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So. And, you know, but, you know, that is, you know, you're taking advantage of the social media element. I mean, that's what makes, that's why they can do these campaigns now, is because, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. You smack a couple teams, players together, and you say, hey, Blue Jays fan base, vote for us. We'll vote for your guy here in San Diego.
Oh, we're supposed to do that?
I don't think we are supposed to do that, but the Padres are definitely doing that.
By the way, on the homepage, MLB.com, not that hype means anything, top photo, if you go to that page, MLB.com, James Wood smoked an opposite field single on his first at bat for the Nationals. And there's a big picture of him there.
Does anybody else feel like he's getting this crazy treatment that I don't know that many people, even outside of us and other people, know who James Wood is?
I mean, he kind of did that for himself by the kind of year he was having down in AAA. It kind of built the steam. And I think he's a top, like, prospect in, like, not just his organization, but, like,
yeah,
all of baseball.
Number three overall right now, according to this.
So that'll do it for you.
He has a challenge on MLB The Show. That's how good he is. He has his own challenge.
By the way, Mackenzie Gore.
There's a challenge. What? Oh, on MLB The Show.
Yeah, yes, you have to hit two extra base hits with him in a game, and it's really hard because you have to go up against Aaron Nola, and Aaron Nola keeps blowing me away every time.
Okay, so. I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know this. Mackenzie Gore may go punch C.J. Abrams in a battle of former Padres any moment now.
Oh, no.
Because you know what happens with Gore. He doesn't like when guys don't make a play for him. He just got taken out of this game with a 2-0 lead, Tony. Next batter up with two men on, hit a ground ball that went under C.J. Abrams' glove for an error. Next guy followed with a two-run double, and now the Mets are ahead 3-2. Gore.
This is after he came out?
After he came out. C.J. made the error, and now the lead is gone. So don't expect.
He's doing the.
Don't expect Mackenzie Gore to welcome C.J. Abrams back into the dugout with a big hug.
C.J. better get his guard up when he walks in there, dog.
Mackenzie Gore, they showed a shot of him in
they
the dugout.
They did show a shot of him.
And he is
not
chewing that gum real fast.
Yeah, he didn't look pleased.
He also has a weird hat. Have you ever noticed that his hat doesn't fit his head?
No. I do notice that he didn't want to come out of the game in the first place. And he kind of barked at Davey Martinez.
How many pitches did he – could you find out how many pitches
he had?
Yes,
he had 104 in the sixth inning.
Hey, bro. Listen.
I'm not agreeing with you.
I'm talking about
oh, look at that shot of him stewing in the dugout right now.
He is so angry right now.
There is steam coming out of his ears.
I'm fake talking to McKenzie right now, but yeah. – Bruh, if you're going to throw 104 pitches in how many innings? Four and what?
Five and two-thirds.
Yeah.
In five and two-thirds, they're going to come get you. I mean, this isn't new to 2024 baseball.
Yeah, that's what
like,
they do.
If you aren't efficient, they are going to come get you whether you have a lead or not.
Yep.
That is just the way it goes. And so, you know, the step for McKenzie now is, because it's clear, dude, his stuff is high level. I mean, he was throwing 94 mile per hour sliders against the Padres the other day. Like, you just don't see that. But if you can't take the next step to now be efficient, you know, it's kind of like with Michael King. Michael King in his last start, really good. And he was really good not because he got to six innings, because he did it in like 85 pitches. He was efficient. If you're 105 and you're not through, you know, you the team is knocking on the door and your stress pitches are going high, they're going to come get you. So I assume McKenzie's upset with himself. I know the errors happened thereafter.
Yeah.
And I'm sure as he stews in that anger after he goes into the clubhouse, he'll think about it like, man, what could I have done to put myself in a better spot? And that is be more efficient with my pitch count. They're looking at it as a young guy.
I think he's going to say to himself as he goes down the locker, C.J. Abrams better not cross my line of sight right now. That's what I think he's going to say. It was a total boot Like, it was right under his glove, between his legs. Set up the big rally.
CJ is turning into a really fine offensive player.
Yes, he is.
He just has some lapse in concentration at times. I mean, whether it's the two plays in San Diego.
Yeah, no kidding.
He booted one. He booted had a big error in that Padres series that led to some runs too. And so CJ's going to be awesome, man. I really enjoy watching him put together at bats, seeing like how far he's come, but there's still levels to this, right? As he gets he locks in on the concentration part, man. He's going to be a really, really good player. And so same with McKenzie. As he cleans up his stuff, he's going to be really, really good.
Well, there was no replay when they came back from commercial of McKenzie Gore beating up C.J. Abrams. So fortunately, it did not happen.
Well, I think C.J. Abrams is a little too important to the team.
I don't know. Nick Senzel's a starter. He didn't have any problem wanting to punch him out.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, so did. He was waiting for Senzel when he came off that.
He was waiting for him.
Now, Senzel's not a small dude, so he definitely was risking something. If Senzel decided to haul off and take one on, I mean, he would have had that skinny frame would have had to eat a nice thick punch.
All right. Mets 3, Nats 2, bottom of the sixth. If you're wondering, Gwen and Chris, we were visited earlier today, and it was fun. Charlie Hoffman from the PGA had some good commentary, some fun stuff, and took a little shot at Scraby's favorite golfer, Rory McIlroy. It's all coming up in the next half hour. Stick around.
7:37 here in Dallas, 5:37 there in San Diego. Last segment of the day, Charlie Haw joined us here. It was a surprise visit, by the way. Scraby came to the table with literally nothing today.
Oh, okay.
You didn't get to see him, Tony. I walked in, he had both his palms up in the air. It was kind of sad.
I was actually, we talked about it on Friday.
To be fair. Yes, to be fair, Scraby put out a bunch of fillers. No one got back. But it was funnier to say that he came to the table.
You look like that character Oliver from the old movie, Alms for the Poor. Just kind of had that forlorn look on your face.
Tony just did the thing into the camera.
And so Charlie calling us was actually a gift.
Well, I texted him over the weekend. Have anything. Yes, and then he texted me like 20 minutes before 2:40. He's like, "Hope this isn't too late." And I'm like, "No, it's not. You are on the show, sir.
Perfect. You're on." And he was worthwhile.
He was
awesome.
So he joined us. He was awesome. Do we want to go to him now, or do we need to?
No, let's go now.
A little bit of time.
Let's go now. Yeah,
let's go now. All right. Well, if you missed it, Charlie Hoffman joined us earlier. Here he is.
Our guy Charlie Hoffman is here, though, and we just love it when Charlie comes on the show. PGA Golf Tour professional, Poway Zone, and nice enough to spend a little time with us here on this Monday afternoon. Charlie, how you been? Good to talk to you, sir.
All good. Enjoying a nice week off here in sunny San Diego. Nice to see the June gloom sort of go away.
June gloom has gone away. We've also, we've given way to July 1st. First of all, I want to ask you about this tournament yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, the Rocket Mortgage tournament in Detroit. And, as a professional golfer, you probably have a feeling like no other when you see something like this happen. Yeah, is it? And he's got a 30-foot spot, needs a two-putt to force a playoff. And then the second putt was, 4 foot, 3-4 footer, and it lipped out. Cam Davis gets the win. Cam Davis even said he wouldn't wish that on anybody, even though he was the winner. How much pain is that for some? I mean, I don't know that the guy sleeps for a month after missing that one.
Well, if you play golf long enough, we've all been there. Akshay is obviously one of our younger, brighter stars on the PGA Tour, and he played some phenomenal golf. I happened to catch literally maybe the last hole or two of that golf tournament. I was down hanging out with the family down by the beach. But you know what? It's one of those, the guy played so amazing, had a 3-putt all week, and then not that all he has to do is 2-putt, because that first putt was – the TV doesn't do justice on that green, how much undulation there is on that green. So the putt he missed wasn't an easy putt. Now, he should have probably, that first putt should have been a little bit closer, but it's one of those. You want to win golf tournaments, you never want to lose them. I've lost some, I've won some, but he's obviously going to be kicking himself because he played some amazing golf and he didn't get a chance to go a few extra holes with Cam, and Cam was the beneficiary of it.
Charlie, I feel like every time we have you on, especially lately, we've had to ask, like, you know, kind of tough golf questions, state of golf. So I'll start a little different this time. Padres playing some good baseball. Are you following them right now? How are you feeling as a Padre fan watching this team play some better baseball?
You know what? I took the family to a game a few weeks ago against Oakland, and it was a blast, and they won in a walk-off fashion. It was one of those walk-off wins. And it was fun to be part of. And then they went on their losing streak. They went on the road and went on the losing streak, and then they caught some fire afterwards. So to say the least, I try to stay engaged via being on the East Coast and doing playing golf for a living. I don't rarely catch live games, but it's fun to watch them play some decent baseball and hopefully get a run for the playoffs, because I think our team's pretty dang good, and it's I think got the power to go a long distance in the playoffs.
Charlie Hoffman, our guy on the PGA Tour, our guest here on Gwen and Chris. And Charlie, I'm going to follow up with another short putt question.
Well, you guys missed it. Portugal just won.
Oh, thank you. I'm sweating it out on the edge of my seat here. Got both of you guys watching this Portugal soccer thing.
I couldn't find it on TV in the break.
Yes, Gravy couldn't find it on our TV. He doesn't know where it is. So, well, thank you, Charlie, for the update. And Portugal is thankfully through to the Euro quarterfinals. That is great news. That is great news. But I'm going to ask you about another short putt, and that's Rory at the U.S. Open. And I know maybe we like to try to make Rory out to be the bad guy, but did he owe it to us? You know, we're there, the media I'm talking about, we're there when he wins, we're there, you know, when things happen. You know, he missed it. I can totally get how frustrating it had to be, but was that the right move, or do you understand him kind of just getting out of there and heading for the hills after that U.S. Open?
I'm trying to figure out a way to answer this question without becoming some sort of viral sensation. There was a period of time where you couldn't keep the mic out of Rory's mouth about what he wanted to talk to her in the state of golf and the PGA Tour. And then when I would say the most candid time in someone's life when you should answer those questions, because there's a reason why we're making millions of dollars, and it's because of media. And yes, he does owe it to the fans. And yes, he does need to do that interview. I've never lost the U.S. Open. I've lost golf tournaments, but yeah, you owe it to everybody to do that. And that's just part of the gig, is to answer the hard questions and the hard times. And that's why people tune in to watch. And that's how you have fans, and why you have fans. And unfortunately, he did not do that. I'm sure if I talked to him or someone else talked to him, he probably wish he had a mulligan on that and had a redo. But I think he should have answered those questions, no question.
Fair enough. Yeah, certainly wasn't the first guy who's ever lost a big tournament like in the fashion that he did. And at least in my recollection, all of them stood in front of those cameras afterwards. It was a little disappointing to see it go down like that. But, you know, Charlie, I got to ask you, in terms of, you know, the PGA, LIV, where are we at with the state of the PGA right now? You know, Bryson DeChambeau wins that U.S. Open, obviously on the LIV roster. Does that matter? Where are we at in the state of PGA? Let's start there.
Yeah, we'll go back 1 second. When media is, I will say, of the purses, not of Rory's revenue, is nearly 70% of the purses is our media contract. You owe it to the media to do back to what he should have done. So you got to know where you're getting fed from. So, but on the note of the LIV and the PGA Tour, thank God since Jan 1, I've been off the board, and I thought it would get easier for these guys once everything was going on. But it seems to be just getting harder and harder. But I know they're in, obviously, I know as much as probably you guys know as the media knows, they're in discussion. There is talking going on, which I believe it or not, I slowed down a lot of last year. Obviously there's not much to report on that in the last year, but we have a great partner with SSG, which is enabling us to, I would say, hopefully partner with PIP and come up with a strategic plan to be partners going forward. Because I think if you break it all down, what's best for the game of golf in the world is for all of us to be together and play under one umbrella, not be separate identities. Where are we at with that? I don't know, but I think after the period of time that Liv's going on and producing a product, there's not a lot of, it's gaining momentum, but not a ton of momentum. The major championships, I personally think, have gained from them. They could argue that they lose some of those Liv players because not a world ranking points and so on and so forth, but their top players are playing the majors. And it gives a spike to the major championship that's already had a spike. People want to watch us all play together. So more people are even tuning in, I would say, in general, for the game of golf during the major championships. Our ratings are pretty stagnant, not going up, not going down, I would say, for the most part. But it's something that to gain our fans back and the loyalty of our fans, I think we sort of need to be together and put the best product out there for you guys to watch. We're entertainers. We're competitors, but, the reason why we make money, we're all competitors, but the reason why we're playing for the millions of dollars is because of the fans watching it and the engagement that we have with them. And what Bryson did was riveting with the fans. He sort of turned over a whole new leaf from when he was on the PGA Tour, the Live Tour, and he's engaged probably more than anybody on the PGA Tour right now. And it was great to watch him embrace all the fans and do what he did and show the emotion he showed. And I'm a golf fan also. I'm a player, but I'm a fan. And it was great to watch. And I obviously, like you said, he didn't want to see Rory miss a three footer and him win it that way. But Bryson went out and won that golf tournament. He got up and down from four, and probably the hardest, if you ask every professional golfer, the hardest shot in all of golf is a 50 yard bunker shot. And he stuffed the 6 feet in U.S. Open conditions and U.S. Open pressure. You got to take your hat off to that and say, well done, Bryson. And then the way he answered the questions and his interviews were great. So, I guarantee Bryson all of a sudden earned a lot more fans because of that performance than Rory did, that's for sure.
Yeah. Scraby's been a Bryson hater for a long time.
And now, thanks, Chris.
He's coming along.
And a Rory lover, too, at the same time.
And a Rory
time.
Lover, like, yeah.
We're going to really put me in a weird spot.
We're going to flip-flop you here, as you should. Charlie Hoffman is with us. Charlie's had a couple of top tens this year on tour, and I think that's remarkable. You're been in the game for so long, Charlie. 47 years old is, it's.
I'm old.
Yeah, well, I'm flat out old. You're still a young man as far as some of us are concerned. But yeah. In the game
of professional sports, I'm old. Not in the game
doubt.
Of life, I'm not. In the game of professional sports.
There's no doubt. In professional sports, to have two top tens, and you talked about you just wanted to be healthy. You just wanted to feel good.
Yep.
Where are we here as we hit the midway point of the season? Are you still holding up good?
I'm holding up good. My team that I've established through trainers, chiropractors, swing instructors, we're all kicking on all cylinders. Everything's great. It's actually it's been good. Traveling is usually my hardest part. I think we figured something out with some new gadgets while I fly to keep sort of the blood flow going and everything going, and it's really worked out as of late. So I feel healthy. This life in general. I was out on the water this morning on the jet ski, daughter wakeboarding, and no pain. Usually sitting down is pain. Going over bumps is pain. Zero pain whatsoever. I feel great. Now that could change tomorrow night because I've been through this before. But as of right this second, everything's great. And I'm looking forward to going. I took this week off to sort of strategically hang out with the family. As I say, you can. You can't buy memories, you got to make them. So,
nope.
Spending time with the family during the summer here in San Diego, as I'm trying to play golf competitively, but most importantly, make sure my kids remember me and have a great time during the summers when we can spend some time together.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you taking some time out to hang out with us. Don't pull a muscle answering this last question, Charlie. But I am playing Torrey Pines for the first time ever on Friday. And I'm I got to be honest. I mean, I'm pretty freaked out about it.
Freaked out?
I am. I don't know why.
It's a golf course.
Yeah, well, but you've seen me on, you know, certain courses. Things don't always go my way. I mean, I'm, you know, I think I'm good enough to play a little over bogey golf, but just give me anything I can take with me out to the course Friday, Charlie. It'll be forever appreciated.
You know, Tori is a U.S. Are you playing the South, I assume?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Right? Yeah, we are.
The South golf course is a U.S. Open caliber golf course. Now, the rough's, I assume, not going to be up. I haven't been out there since January, February. So,
Our guy Charlie Hoffman is here, though, and we just love it when Charlie comes on the show. PGA Golf Tour professional, Poway Zone, and you know, nice enough to spend a little time with us here on this Monday afternoon. Charlie, how you been? Good to talk to you, sir.
All good. Enjoying a nice week off here in sunny San Diego. Nice to see the June gloom sort of go away.
June gloom has gone away. We've also, we've given way to July 1st. First of all, I want to ask you about this tournament yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, the Rocket Mortgage tournament in Detroit. And, you know, as a professional golfer, you probably have a feeling like no other when you see something like this happen. Yeah, is it? And he's got a 30-foot spot, needs a two-putt to force a playoff. And and then the second putt was, what, 4 foot, 3-4 footer, and it lipped out. Cam Davis gets the win. Cam Davis even said he wouldn't wish that on anybody, even though he was the winner. How much pain is that for some? I mean, I don't know that the guy sleeps for a month after missing that one.
Well, if you play golf long enough, we've all been there. Akshay is obviously one of our younger, brighter stars on the PGA Tour, and he played some phenomenal golf. I happened to catch literally maybe the last hole or two of that golf tournament. I was down hanging out with the family down by the beach. But you know what? It's one of those, the guy played so amazing, had a three putt all week, and then not that all he has to do is two putt, because that first putt was, the TV doesn't do justice on that green, how much undulation there is on that green. So the putt he missed wasn't an easy putt. Now, he should have probably, that first putt should have been a little bit closer, but it's one of those. You want to win golf tournaments. You never want to lose them. I've lost some, I've won some, but he's obviously going to be kicking himself because he played some amazing golf and he didn't get a chance to go a few extra holes with Cam, and Cam was the beneficiary of it.
Charlie, I feel like every time we have you on, especially lately, we've had to ask, like, you know, kind of tough golf questions, state of golf. So I'll start a little different this time. Padres playing some good baseball. Are you following them right now? How are you feeling as a Padre fan watching this team play some better baseball?
You know what? I took the family to a game a few weeks ago against Oakland, and it was a blast, and they won in a walk-off fashion. It was one of those walk-off wins, and it was a fun to be part of. And then they went on their losing streak. They went on the road and went on the losing streak, and then they caught some fire afterwards. So to say the least, I try to stay engaged via being on the East Coast and doing playing golf for a living. I don't rarely catch live games, but it's fun to watch them play some decent baseball and hopefully get a run for the playoffs, because I think our team's pretty dang good, and it's got the power to go a long distance in the playoffs.
Charlie Hoffman, our guy on the PGA Tour, our guest here on Gwen and Chris. And Charlie, I'm going to follow up with another short putt question.
Well, you guys missed it. Portugal just won.
Oh, thank you. I'm sweating it out. I'm edge of my seat here. Got both of you guys watching this Portugal soccer thing.
I couldn't find it on TV in the break.
Yes, Scraby couldn't find it on our TV. He doesn't know where it is. So, well, thank you, Charlie, for the update. And Portugal is thankfully through to the Euro quarterfinals. That is great news. That is great news. But I'm going to ask you about another short putt, and that's Rory at the U.S. Open. And I know maybe we like to try to make Rory out to be the bad guy, but did he owe it to us? You know, we're there, the media I'm talking about, we're there when he wins, we're there, you know, when things happen. You know, he missed it. I can totally get how frustrating it had to be, but Was that the right move, or do you understand him kind of just getting out of there and heading for the hills after that U.S. Open?
I'm trying to figure out a way to answer this question without becoming some sort of viral sensation. There was a period of time where he couldn't keep the mic out of Rory's mouth about what he wanted to talk to her in the state of golf and the PGA Tour. And then when the most candid time in someone's life when you should answer those questions, because there's a reason why we're making millions of dollars, and it's because of media. And yes, he does owe it to the fans. And yes, he does need to do that interview. Like I said, I've never lost the U.S. Open. I've lost golf tournaments, but yeah, you owe it to everybody to do that. And that's just part of the gig, is to answer the hard questions and the hard times. And that's why people tune in to watch. And that's how you have fans, and why you have fans. And unfortunately, he did not do that. I'm sure if I talked to him or someone else talked to him, he probably wish he had a mulligan on that and had a redo. But I think he should have answered those questions, no question.
Fair enough.
Yeah, certainly wasn't the first guy who's ever lost a big tournament like in the fashion that he did. And at least in my recollection, all of them stood in front of those cameras afterwards. It was a little disappointing to see it go down like that. But, you know, Charlie, I got to ask you, in terms of, you know, the PGA, LIV, where are we at with the state of the PGA right now? You know, Bryson DeChambeau wins that U.S. Open, obviously on the LIV roster. Does that matter? Where are we at in the state of PGA? Let's start there.
Yeah, we'll go back 1 second. When media is, I will say, of the purses, not of Rory's revenue, is nearly 70% of the purses is our media contract. You owe it to the media to do back to what he should have done. So you got to know where you're getting fed from. So, but on the note of the LIV and the PGA Tour, thank God since Jan 1, I've been off the board, and I thought it would get easier for these guys once everything was going on. But it seems to be just getting harder and harder. But I know they're in, obviously, I know as much as probably you guys know, as the media knows, they're in discussion. There is talking going on, which, I believe it or not, I slowed down a lot of last year. Obviously, there's not much to report on that in the last year, but we have a great partner with SSG, which is enabling us to, I would say, hopefully partner with PIF and come up with a strategic plan to be partners going forward. Because I think if you break it all down, what's best for the game of golf in the world is for all of us to be together and play under one umbrella, and not be separate identities. Where are we at with that? I don't know. But I think after the period of time that LIV's going on and producing a product, there's not a lot of, I mean, it's gaining momentum, but not a ton of momentum. The major championships, I personally think, have gained from them. They could argue that they lose some of those LIV players because not of world ranking points and so on and so forth, but their top players are playing the majors. And it gives a spike to the major championship that's already had a spike. I mean, people want to watch us all play together. So more people are even tuning in, I would say, in general, for the game of golf during the major championships. Our ratings are pretty stagnant, not going up, not going down, I would say, for the most part. But it's something that, to gain our fans back and the loyalty of our fans, I think we sort of need to be together and put the best product out there for you guys to watch. We're entertainers. I mean, we're competitors, but I mean, the reason why we make money, I mean, we're all competitors, but the reason why we're playing for the millions of dollars is because of the fans watching it and the engagement that we have with them. And I mean, what Bryson did was riveting with the fans. I mean, he sort of turned over a whole new leaf from when he was on the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, and he's engaged probably more than anybody on the PGA Tour right now. And it was great to watch him embrace all the fans and do what he did and show the emotion he showed. And I'm a golf fan also. I'm a player, but I'm a fan, and it was great to watch. And I obviously, like you said, he didn't want to see Rory miss a 3-footer and him win it that way, but Bryson went out and won that golf tournament. He got up and down from four, and probably the hardest, if you ask every professional golfer, the hardest shot in all of golf is a 50-yard bunker shot. And he stuffed the 6 feet in U.S. Open conditions and U.S. Open pressure. You got to take your hat off to that and say, well done, Bryson. And then the way he answered the questions and his interviews were great. So, I guarantee Bryson all of a sudden earned a lot more fans because of that performance than Rory did, that's for sure.
Yeah. Scraby's been a Bryson hater for a long time.
And thanks, Chris.
He's coming along.
And a Rory lover, too, at the same time.
And a Rory
time.
Lover, like, yeah.
We're really putting me in a weird spot.
We're going to flip-flop you here, as you should. Charlie Hoffman is with us. Charlie's had a couple of top tens this year on tour, and... You know, I mean, I think that's remarkable. You've been in the game for so long, Charlie. I mean, 47 years old is, you know, that's
I'm old.
Yeah, well, I'm flat out old. You're still a young man as far as some of us are concerned. But yeah, to finish
in the game of professional sports, I'm old. I mean,
Sports. There's no doubt in professional sports, and I mean to have two top tens, and you talked about you just wanted to be healthy, you just wanted to feel good.
Yep.
Where are we here as we hit the midway point of the season? I mean, are you still holding up good?
I'm holding up good. My team that I've established through trainers, chiropractors, swing instructors, we're all kicking on all cylinders. Everything's great. It's actually, it's been good traveling. It's usually my hardest part. I think we figured something out with some, new gadgets while I fly to keep sort of the blood flow going and everything going. And it's really worked out as of late. So I feel healthy. I mean, just life in general. I mean, I was out on the water this morning on the jet ski, daughter wakeboarding, and no pain. Usually sitting down is pain. Going over bumps is pain. Zero pain whatsoever. I feel great. Now, that could change tomorrow night because I've been through this before, but as of right this second, everything's great. And I'm looking forward to going. I took this week off to sort of strategically hang out with the family. As I say, you can... You can't buy memories, and you got to make them. So, nope. Spending time with the family during the summer here in San Diego, as I'm trying to play golf competitively, but most importantly, make sure my kids remember me and have a great time during the summers when we can spend some time together.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you taking some time out to hang out with us. Don't pull a muscle answering this last question, Charlie. But I am playing Torrey Pines for the first time ever on Friday. And I got to be honest. I mean, I'm pretty freaked out about it.
Freaked out?
I am. I don't know why.
It's a golf course.
Yeah, well, but you've seen me on, you know, certain courses. Things don't always go my way. I mean, I think I'm good enough to play a little over bogey golf, but just give me anything I can take with me out to the course Friday, Charlie. It'll be forever appreciated.
You know, Torrey, is a US, are you playing the South, I assume?
Yes, we are, yeah. Right? Yeah, we are.
The South golf course is a US Open caliber golf course. Now, the rough's, I assume, not going to be up. I haven't been out there since January or February. So what you want to do at Torrey, it's actually not that demanding of a golf course off the tee, I would say. I mean, it's a long golf course. So if you play the correct tee, so you don't need to play – all the way back and make a play,
no.
Whatever, 7,500 yards, whatever it is. Just go out and pick the correct tee. But most importantly, the greens are structured very hard to almost repel balls, and like there's back little shelves. Hit to the center of the green. Don't worry about where that pin is, and try to make a putt from the center of the green. Because getting up and down around those greens is sometimes challenging. So I wouldn't try to challenge those pins too much, and just try to hit those center of the greens and hopefully make a couple long putts for birdie.
Ah, man, I made a long one today, and I think that used it up for the week. I'm a little worried about that.
Can you explain bogey golf now that we have a professional golfer?
Hold
on,
you made a long putt. You made a long putt. You used it for the week or the year?
Maybe the year. Confused. This one was long enough, so maybe I use it for the year. I think you're right, Charlie. Yeah, Matt gets mad at me because in my head I play bogey golf, so I add a stroke to every hole. And if I get a bogey, then I call it a par in my head.
Now, I say that's not a thing.
Matt gets mad at me for doing that, but I don't know. That's how I make my way around the course. So I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but...
Your thoughts are whatever. You know your handicap, and that's what's great about the game of golf. Is if you keep a valid handicap, I could go give you X amount of shots, and we could have a great competition. That's what's great about it. If you're relevant... What par is for someone, I would say average golfers, but if you actually keep score, you can have a great round or a great competition with anybody, no matter what they're in. I mean, I like to gamble with the guys on the golf course, and I've had some of my best matches against the a 17, a 14 handicap, because guess what? They're getting a shot on every single hole, and I've got to play my butt off. They make a par, it's a birdie. They make a birdie, it's an eagle. And so I really enjoy those sometimes, those competitions amongst friends that are getting a ton of strokes. It makes me sort of I mean, every shot means something, because if you make a par, I've got to make a birdie. But so your thought process is fine, but I would challenge you to maybe try to make some pars for birdies, not just bogeys for pars.
Yes. One of these days.
Challenge!
One of these days. Maybe not Friday, but maybe the next time after that. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great, happy 4th of July. And, you know, you're welcome anytime. So, you want to check in, just give us a call. We'd love to have you on. And good luck. Enjoy the week with your family.
Thanks, fellas. Enjoy the 4th also, and we'll talk soon.
Charlie Hoffman getting it done, and we really appreciate it. As mentioned, little Charlie, never hurt anybody. Coming up next, he's got his Scrabinator t-shirt on, so he's ready hour of the Scraby Chronicles. It is Matt Scraby, so stick around for all that. Padres, Rangers tomorrow, they'll follow our program. We get underway at 2 o'clock, so we'll see you then. For Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby, enjoy the Chronicles. They're next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.